Good afternoon, everyone. Brother Otis and Brother Rodney here for another episode of the Forsaken Horizon podcast. Happy to be here tonight with Brother Rodney. Glad that he can make it here. And just so thankful that God has given us another opportunity to be here to do the podcast. So, Brother Rodney, appreciate you being here.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You were saying earlier that who would have thought that me and you would be the only ones here.
Who would have thought it?
Well, but, you know, we do the best we can. We're trying to perfect it and get everything, trying to make sure our everything is working, our intros and outros are working. So thankful we could do the split screen tonight. I'm over here working the controls, and Brother Rodney's at the table. So let's have a word of prayer. Brother Rodney, will you lead us in prayer tonight?
Dear Lord God, thank you for this day and all of our blessings. Wonderful blessing. Just bless each and every person out there that needs a prayer, whatever it might be. Just let them have a good prayer. Bless this service and let somebody get some good use out of it. Maybe it'll help somebody along the way. Just help us through everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And thank you, Brother Rodney, for that prayer. Just want to open up tonight. We are subject that is really kind of dear to my heart, something that I know that humanity struggles with. The subject is bondage. When I say the word bondage, Brother Rodney, I think of someone being bound and being chained and being locked up in a precarious, a predicament that they're trying to escape.
Yes.
And not always they're trying to escape, but sometimes people are in bondage and don't really know. So that's a subject that I really want to talk about tonight and kind of get some insight from yourself and, yes, and what the scripture says about bondage. So just really kind of thinking about the things that, you know, I deal with on a daily basis and the things that I battle and things that, you know, I don't want to be bound by. You know, those things are not something that we brag about. Those things are not something we're happy about. You know, anybody who is in jail is not happy to be in jail, I would hope. You know, I think about, you know, what's transpiring today in national news with President Trump being convicted of 34 felony charges. And, you know, there's going to be some sentencing here soon. But, you know, that's, you know, a type of bondage, you know. And, you know, you think about bondage. When I think about bondage, Brother Rodney, I think about the beginning of bondage is, you know, Genesis chapter 3 when sin came into the world. So, Brother Rodney, what do you think about when you think about bondage?
Yeah, she opened a bad box when she done that.
Who is she?
Eve. Oh. Eve opened a really bad box.
Well, I agree with you. You know, Eve was the seed, but, you know, Adam was the one who had the authority. Yeah. And sin didn't come into the world to actually Adam, you know, disobeyed God. So, you know, they both have to take accountability.
Yeah, it was more his fault, I guess.
Yeah. And so.
Because he was in charge. She wasn't.
That's right. So. And so, you know, for me, you know, I can go back and I can be like, oh, yeah, you know, they made that mistake. Oh, you know, I'll get mad at them, get frustrated with them. Like, if they wouldn't have never did that, we would be in perfect harmony and perfect paradise. Yes. But I think any person, if it was, you know, Otis and Rachel, you know, we would have been in the same scenario because sin was just meant to be in the world. God did not, you know, he knew what was going to happen. He did not stop it from happening because he wanted man to have freedom of choice. But he also, you know, wanted us to understand and have realized, hey, listen, you know, you don't have to be in bondage. You know, bondage is something that does what? Separates you from God. Because God is what? God is, you know, he gives liberty through his spirit. Now, I was talking to someone about liberty, the ability to do things. And that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. You know, we think about jail and prison. Somebody who's bound by, you know, a mentality of wanting to hurt people, that person don't need their freedom. You know, they need to have somebody to supervise them. They need to be in some type of, I hate the word, was incarceration, you know. You know, it's kind of a good thing or bad thing, you know. But once again, that goes back to the heart of sin. And you know, sin does bring back impulses and things that we should not do and things that, you know, hopefully that we can recognize and say, you know, I want to be free of this thing. You know, I want to be free of this bondage or these chains, you know, that oppress me or you know, keeping me from fulfilling the destiny that God has for me. So, you know, I was sitting here, you know, I was reading some scriptures here, Brother Rodney, and, you know, I'm trying to be mindful, you know, with time stuff. But, you know, one of the things that came to mind was when I think about bondage, I think about Lazarus and, you know, yes. You know, Lazarus was sick and they wanted Jesus to come and pray for him, Mary and Martha, and he didn't come and he died. And, you know, he had been in the tomb and they wanted him to come because they knew the power that Jesus had. And of course he eventually came and, you know, in John 11 and 43 and 44 says, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, talking about Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. You know, and I think that that's the thing that Jesus calls us all to come forth and be, you know, to be a part of life, to be living. Because, you know, Lazarus was dead at the time. Yes. You know, I can say that there was a scene in my life. I was a dead man walking, Brother Rodney, because yes. I was walking according to my own mindset, the things that I wanted to do. You know, those things I knew, you know, were bad, but I enjoyed doing them. You know what I'm saying? Yes. They were not good for me. But, you know, and sometimes, you know, there's be seasons and times where I will feel convicted and feel like I need to do better. But it was almost like I was compelled to do these things, you know, and that was a bondage. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus was always telling me, you know, Otis, you need to do better. You need to stop doing this. You know what I'm saying? Now, I was a little hard headed. I don't know about everybody else here in Geraldine or in DeKalb County or State of Alabama. You know, he would speak to me, not the meaning that I would listen to him. You know, I was just kind of like, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? But I'm thankful that he did call me. I'm thankful that he did not give up on me, Brother Rodney. I'm thankful that even though I was bound by something, he was yet called my name. So, you know, when I read the scripture, when he says, Lazarus, come forth, he's talking to me, Otis, come forth. You know, he's calling forth life into me. He's calling forth me to stop walking in death, which sin is what? Death. That's what it is. Death is sin separates us from what? God. So what do you think about it, Brother Ryan? I don't want to sit here and do all the talking tonight.
Well, the whole Bible, the main part of it is these people that failed and get brought back to God. They make it right.
They make it right.
They confess that they messed up and they made it right. That's the main key part of the Bible. It's not that you made a mistake.
Right, right.
It's the part that you got, you know, you done made the mistake and you asked for forgiveness.
Right.
That's the main part.
Well, you know, I was talking to Nick today and we were just kind of talking about the things that, like I said, that's going on in the nation with President Trump and, you know, the pain of the young lady, you know, not to go into any detail. I think most people who are aware of the situation knows the situation and, you know, to try to cover that up. And, you know, we started talking about men in the Bible. You know, we talked about Samson, you know, who was, you know, Samson went after his own desires, you know what I'm saying? Even though he was called and God used him, you know, he had his own vices and things that he struggled with, and God still used him, you know. Talked about David, King David, as a great example, you know, him and Bathsheba. Yes. And, you know, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. And think about what David did and tried to conceal it then, even, you know, had her husband killed. So, you know, there are things that we see and things that we do that we don't want to do, but it's just the sin nature that's there. But like you said, you know, God can still use people and have examples of those in the Bible to really encourage us that you know, hey, he's still calling our names. You know, even though we may be sick with sin and we may be battling these things and, you know, we're walking in that bondage, you know, and it keeps us from fulfilling God's call in our lives. You know, he's still calling our name. He still calls David and he still loved David. He still loves Samson. He still loves, you know, Lazarus, you know, he still loved Brother Rodney. He still loved Brother Otis. He still loved the people who listen to this podcast. God loves, never changes, you know. And I don't think he ever stopped calling our name, Brother Rodney. No. I don't think he ever gives up on us, you know.
No.
And I may not know much, but I feel like that because just from my own experiences in life that no matter, I feel like, what I've done or what season of time that I've been in, and I know that sometimes, you know, the adversary makes me, well, God, don't love you. You know what I'm saying? Or God, yes. How can he love you when you're doing this and doing that and you're bound by this? Well, you know, that's, you know, really the reality is Satan's a liar. You know what I'm saying? There's no truth in him. So if I'm listening to a liar, what does that say? You know what I'm saying? I don't messed up. So I don't really need to be listening to him, no. You know, cause he's not the final say in my life. And so, you know, if you look at just the example in John 11, when Jesus calls in a loud said in a loud voice, meaning he's trying to get our attention, you know, hey, come forth, you know, we read the story of Lazarus, but I kind of read it by myself, come forth. And the Bible says that he that was what dead came what forth. And so if I'm bound in sin, you know, I'm bound by different things, vices, as we say, in different things. And, you know, this sin nature, once again, we go back to the garden where all this stuff started, you know. We could talk about a multitude of vices and sins, and you know, people told and pulled different things, but you know, in God's eyes, sin is what sin, you know, it is what it is. And so, you know, I can look at myself and like, you know, God, thank you for delivering me from this, but then there's things I still battle and, you know, he still come forth, you know, I don't want you to be bound in this. So, you know, I think, you know, humility. And when I say humility is recognizing that's something I fight, that's something I battle, that's something I'm bound by. Because the biggest problem is, that I see in our society, Brother Rodney, is denial and not taking accountability for the things that we do or things that we battle, you know. And so how can you be free from something if you feel like you're not what?
Not bound guilty. By it?
Yeah.
You're not, I'm not guilty. Oh, I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. Right. And, you know, I won't seek the freedom. I definitely won't hear his voice because he's calling me. And I'm like, no, you calling Brother Rodney. I didn't do that, guy. You know, yes. Brother Rodney, look at all he's doing. You know what I'm saying? How bad Brother Rodney is. You know, if you fix Brother Rodney, then I won't have to worry about it. And, you know, that's the problem with the world. We want God and we want, you know, to fix everybody else instead of doing what? Looking in what?
Yeah, looking at mirror, ourselves.
Looking at ourselves. So, you know, that's where it first began. You know, I love the scripture. You know, we say, get, you know, my house in order, get myself in order. You know, how can I come to your house, Brother Rodney, and tell you your house is a wreck and is a mess and my home house is a wreck
and
a
mess? That's true.
You know, that ain't right. It's got, I think they call it hypocrisy, right?
Yes.
And so, but I do believe we help each other to grow. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I love you, I'm going to tell you things that's going to help you, right? And vice versa. You know, I'm not going to tell you things that try to destroy you, you know, I'm going to encourage you. And I would hope, like, if I was going off a cliff and I was blind, you know, we just talked about your eyesight earlier. Uh-huh. And so I would hope, like, you're like, Brother Otis, you know, I can't see very good, but I know there's a cliff there. Let me grab you and pull you back, you know. So I would hope you would do that.
I would want somebody to help me.
Well, that's what this is about, yes. You know, not being alone and not feeling forsaken, you know, because we can feel like that. Because sometimes, you know, people want God to hear. I read something where somebody had written, I just want God or Jesus to come sit on the bed and talk to me. Like, well, okay, I get that. But sometimes he's speaking to you through people, you know, and those people who care about you or through something you read. You know what I'm saying? He's reconfirming his word. And that's the way he speaks. You know, it's not going to all the time be that you get the Paul, the road to Damascus journey.
That's true. Yeah,
so
what if Nathan hadn't have went and confronted David about his problem?
Well,
he would have thought he had it made. He would have thought he had it total covered up. He would have floated along and he would have really been in a mess.
And that's the thing. Thank God that he does not let us continue in a mess. That he's a good guy. He's a good father. He's going to correct us. I think Nathan, you know, he was compelled because he was a prophet of God to go to David. And he did it in such a very beautiful way because he really told a parable. You know, he didn't just go, David, you did this to your Irish wife. You know, you had, you know, an affair.
He told a good story.
You know, he told a great story. And David, he identified with the story. You know, oh, this is this man who had many, I think it was lambs. And he's like, and this is one man, you know, he only had one lamb. And the guy who had many lambs took the guy with one lamb. And, you know, and David was mad. He's like, who is this person? He's like, I'm going to punish him. And he's like, you're the man. And David recognized real quick, like, what he was talking about, you know, but.
If he had went and told him right off the full story without a parable, he would have probably been mad and had him killed.
Well, I think With David being a king, and Nathan understanding that the authority that David had, that's why he approached him like that. So, but I think that's the thing. God gave Nathan wisdom, you know, to how to approach David. And Nathan did not just go in there on his own.
No.
And so he had the leading in the Spirit of God, because Nathan loved David and he loved the Lord. And so he wanted to see David restored back to fellowship with God. And so, you know, with David being the king, you know, he had to be in order to what God's called. So it's a beautiful story of how God works within us and how if David was allowed to think that he got away with that, who's to say he wouldn't continue to do those type of things? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And continue to walk that same path. And that would be something that would have been bondage in his life, and it would have cut the blessing short, not only for David's house, you know, because the Bible does say that the sword never left his house, and you see what happened with Absalom, you know, and his other sons and the different things that he went through, but God still loved David and showed grace and mercy. But think about if that stuff continued to happen, how bad it would have been for David. So I'm so thankful that God does not allow us to continue in bondage. I mean, because one thing about bondage, man, it weighs heavy. It don't get better, brother. It just gets worse. You know what I'm saying? If you allow it to continue, you know, anything that you're bound by, you know, it intensifies and you get desensitized to it. It's like you make it, it becomes who you are. You know, someone said to me, you know, that's not my character. Yeah. And I just kind of thought about it. You know, I'm like, well, that may be uncharacteristic of you, the thing that you do. And it may not be a character who God calls you to be, but you got to recognize that. And then move away from that. You know what I'm saying? And not be bound by the things that you know that's not your character. I mean, I say that for myself. You know, I'm like, that ain't me. That shouldn't be me. You know, I want to change that. And I think that's what God can work with us. You know, if we have the mindset to want to change. And that's the mindset of freedom, saying that, you know, he's calling our names. He's saying to us, hey, listen, come forth, you know, arise, you know, and the Bible said the dead come forth, because what it does, it recognizes that I'm living a sinful life, and this life does what? It separates me from who? God, who is what? All life. And so, you know, yeah, I love the story of Nathan and David and Bathsheba. You know, it's just a powerful story. But what if Nathan had been obedient, or what if he would have approached David different? I think that's actually a great example, Brother Rodney,
that is.
How we go to people who are bound by something. You know, if you go in an accusatory manner, and you know, you're not going to be able to reach them. And so you've got to go in a heart of gentleness and a heart of love and compassion, and understand that, you know, hey, listen, this person really has a good heart. Because if David had a bad heart, he wouldn't have cared about what that other man did to that man who had one lamb. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have cared. He would have loved.
He
you know,
thought he had it. He did anyway.
Yeah, so David's heart was good, and Nathan knew that. And that's why he used that parable. Yeah. He used that story. And, you know, he told David about it. He said, well, you're the man. And David recognized real quick, like, I get what you're saying. So that's an amazing example, Brother Rodney. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And just to continue on with the description, and he that was dead came forth. This is key. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And so, you know, the grave clothes is to contain the dead. You know what I'm saying? And so even though he was alive, he was still what? Bound with the dead, the stinking clothes, you know what I'm saying? That, and the Bible said his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus says this unto them, loose him. Powerful words. Means set him what? Free. Set him free from the grave. Set him free from death. Set him free from bondage, you know. And that's the thing that he's doing with us, Brother Rodney. He's saying for us to come forth. And then he's like, loose him. Let him go, you know. Now, and I will say this is very, very key. At this point, Lazarus is alive. And I feel like Lazarus wants to get out of these grave clothes because that is a symbol of death. You got to want to be loose. Let go.
Yes.
You know, if Christ is loosing, or somebody's trying to help you to let go of some things that are binding you, you got to let those things go. You know, sometimes we get comfortable. Sometimes we get complacent, and it's hard to not let go of those things because we're so used to them. And that don't make us a bad person. I'm not saying that. It just makes us where we're still battling, walking in freedom and not bondage. You know, there's a movie called Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a movie buff here. And let's see, Morgan Freeman plays in the movie. And they use the word institutionalized, which means that a person has been in prison for so long, they don't know how to live when they have their freedom. And so one of the stories is, you know, a man had been in prison most of all his life, you know, for murder. And he's an older man now, so he's not a threat to anybody. So they parole him, but he don't want to leave, Brother Rodney, because that's been his life for so long.
Yeah.
And so, he gets a job, you know, he has to get a job, he has to get an apartment, he has a parole officer, you know, he's, you know, seeing vehicles and stuff for the first time. And this movie just sticks out of my head. And, you know, he starts to want to go back to jail. So he starts to think about different things to get himself back in jail, going back to some of the things that got him in trouble. But eventually, you know, he takes his own life because he just could not live outside of incarceration. And so, you know, I think about that example of how many Christians and how many people who don't have support and they feel alone and forsaken. You know, because that was one thing, like, he had friends on the inside. He had people who he identified with and related to. When he got on the outside, you know, people just thought him as an old convict. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was kind of shunned. He wasn't embraced. He didn't really have support. He had a probation officer, but that person was not very sympathetic, was not compassionate to him in his trial tribulation. See, I think this is the thing where the church misses. When people are in bondage and Jesus tells them to come forth and to loose them and let them go, that's our job. That's what he's telling us to do. Let them go. Pull them out. Take those old clothes off of them. Don't recognize them by the clothes that they're bound in. You know what I'm saying? They're living their life. And so we cannot hold that against them. You get where I'm coming from?
Yes.
And so that these people won't feel alone. They won't feel abandoned. Yeah. They won't feel forsaken. That they feel like they have somebody who will walk with them. And even you talking about the story of Nathan, you know, David, you know, some things we could push to the back of our minds and feel like nobody else understands and nobody else cares. It's good to have somebody who understands and who cares about us. And even though Nathan really called David out, I believe that kind of gave David a sense of relief, because Nathan did tell him, he said, God has put this, he's forgiven you. He's put this behind you. You know what I'm saying? And he told him that. And so, you know, even in that moment, David understood that, you know, hey, God hadn't left me. You know, he sent the man of God to restore me. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was a moment of release for David. Like, take off those grave clothes, you know, let him go. Say, you can't continue to hold, because if David hadn't been confronted, Brother Rodney, Satan would have still had his hand on him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He would have still been able to influence him. And then we feel like we have no hope. It's hard to go in the right direction. You know, it's hard to walk straight when you don't feel like, you know, that you've been loose or let free and there's nobody there to support you. So, you know, I thought, you know, as we was talking about it, that movie came to mind, Shawshank Redemption, about that situation. And it's just a perfect example of why we, as Christians, who are what supposed to be Christ-like, you know, we are an example of him in the earth, you know. And you know, can't be judgmental, can't be casting stones and throwing stones at people, can't be doing that type of stuff. So, you know, I'm sorry, Brother Rob, what are your thoughts on it?
Get them thrown at us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, least little failure. Why, he goes to church all the time. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So we have it worse than others sometimes.
Well, and that's one thing, you know, if you're living your life according to, you know, the Bible and life according to how Jesus Christ tells us to live, you know, if he suffered, then we're going to suffer. If he went through,
everybody fails.
So I think that's the key. You know, I do want to read here something in John chapter 20 to kind of tie some of this stuff together. And this is, you know, after Jesus was persecuted and crucified, you know, I say this, you know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he took all our sins, all our shame, everything upon himself. All the bondage that we have, Brother Rodney, he took upon himself. All of it, every single, all of it for every single person, from Adam to Eve and to me and you here and those who are, have yet to be born. You
John
know what I'm saying?
3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should what? Believe in him. You know, shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. I'm really encouraged, Brother Rodney, because one thing I do understand is that even in the moment of Gethsemane, when Jesus, he felt alone. He really did.
Yes.
You know, the disciples are all sleeping, and he's like, could you not just pray with me? But then the Bible says he just kept going a little further and further, and he was praying and talking to the Father. He wasn't getting the response that he wanted from the Father, you know, because he's like, if there'd be any other way,
Let this cup pass.
I don't want to carry all this stuff, because I can only imagine all my junk, my stuff that I've been bound with, you know what I'm saying? Him carrying my stuff, you know, that's a lot.
Yes.
My stuff is a lot, Brother Rodney.
Anybody's is a lot.
But he took it all.
So everybody's is a whole lot.
Everybody's is a whole lot. And he took it. And that was the nature of him, you know. And God had to allow him to take it. And he felt forsaken in that moment. Even when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You forsaken me. Now, Jesus don't lie. He has no need to lie. He don't imagine things. God forsook him. He was alone with all our junk, all our bondage, and everything else, Brother Rodney.
He had to, because he had all this sin, and God is not sin.
That's right.
So he couldn't look at him. He had to turn his back.
Yeah, he turned his eyes away from him, right? Yeah. But it wasn't even his sin.
No,
it was not his bondage. It was what? Ours.
It was theirs.
So God forsook his son, not because he didn't love him, but because he did what? Loved us.
Yep, loved us.
And he's like, come forth, people, come forth. And so, excuse me. And so, you know, now in John 20, I just kind of want to preface that. It says, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. That's John. He came first to the sepulcher and stooped down and looking and saw the linen clothes lying. He saw the clothes lying, yet he was not in. And so when they came to the sepulcher, the grave clothes, which symbolizes the bondage, which symbolizes the sin, which symbolizes all that stuff that Jesus took on. He took it on and he laid it back down in the grave.
They already had a good example. They believed, they saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They had a good example right in front of them. And then it was so hard for them to believe that Jesus raised from the dead. If he could raise Lazarus, they ought to automatically knew he could raise himself.
Well, you know, sometimes, Brother Rodney, when we're going through traumatic things, because they felt like it was going to be a different end, and you know, we're not kind of, you know, I can't say I was in their shoes. They felt like the kingdom was going to be restored and different things was going to happen. Even though the prophecies was there that he would be crucified, they didn't want that. Because Peter even stands up and say, Lord, you know, no, you know, I'll die for you. You know what I'm saying? And then we know how that turned out.
Yes.
So I can't judge them based off of that. And I just kind of put myself in that position. They loved him. They didn't want him to die. You know, that was a very traumatic moment for them.
Yes.
And so they didn't understand that he didn't forsake them. He didn't leave them, and God didn't forsake them. Everything that he went through was in God's perfect plan. And the clothes, the grave garments, they're just symbolic of him taking on the bondage, the sin of the world, picking it up, putting it on the cross.
They had to be like they was for us down the road.
Well, and they came into that.
If they had been whatever and really believed in all this, it would have been hard for us nowadays.
Well, and it's a
process. It would have been harder.
It shows a process of growth. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I guess that's kind of the thing, that all that stuff had to happen.
Yes.
And then Jesus had to be resurrected. And then he ministered to them. He talks to them. And then the Bible says he ascends to the Father, and he tells them, you know, listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but another one will come, speaking of what, the Holy Ghost, you know. And so, you know, a lot of times when, you know, you feel alone, you feel down, you know, just something comes and like, it's going to be, that's the comfort you should get.
Yes.
Even though things don't seem all right. You know what I'm saying? In that moment, yes. It didn't seem right. Like they just lost the Messiah. They just lost, you know, their rabbi, their leader. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to be all right. Like, no, the comfort is going to come. It's going to be all right. And so when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit pours out upon them and on the day of Pentecost, you know, their life yes. changed.
Yes.
They walk in a great power and a great authority because they understand
yes.
that Jesus had already done. Like, he calls us back. The sin and stuff he took upon himself, he laid it down. But then they had a part to do. It's like when he tells them to do what to Lazarus? Unbind him. Let yes. him go. You know, we don't have the power to save Brother Rodney. That's up to Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But we can help people. We can help people through the process of taking some of this stuff off of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And being there for them. Because Jesus commanded, you know, them to do that. And so I use things like that as a model. So, for instance, if I, you know, as a leader, as a shepherd, as whatever, if I see someone who God has set free, then it's my job to encourage that person. It's my job to help that person.
Yes.
And say, hey, listen, you need to lay that down. You need to set that aside because all that's going to do is bind you. But the same token, it's somebody else's job. If you see me going through Brother Rodney, because the Bible said iron sharpens iron, you need to do the same thing with me. Hey, Brother,
yes.
you need to set that aside. Like that. I'm not above that. I mean, we're not. That's how we work together.
Yes.
And
together.
In that right there, we feel the love, the compassion, the empathy, and we feel like we're not alone. And we feel like somebody has my back, you know. And so I'm so thankful, you know.
Help each other along the way.
Help each other along the way. So, you know, Brother Rodney, I can be
bumpy
over here.
Bumpy ride for everybody.
I can be over here by myself, but yeah. I'm not. Brother Rodney is here, and, you know, we got other people who are going to be joining in on the
yes.
podcast. And so I'm so thankful just to be able to do and be a part of this right here. And so, I mean, I just want to encourage everybody. We're not alone. We're not forsaken. You know, though we may be battling things and feel like we're walking in bondage, but Jesus overcame that a long time ago, and he laid that down in the grave. And so we walk in the newness of that, and we have to receive that. But it's also our jobs, just like a podcast, just to tell people we're here to help people
yes.
be unbound, just by telling them, hey, listen, Jesus died for you, he loves you, you know, but I'm here, you know what I'm saying? Now Jesus may not come sit with you on your bed, you know, or talk to you, but Brother Otis can talk to you. Brother Rodney can talk to you. The Holy
yes.
Spirit will talk to you. You know, the Bible will talk to you. You'll have people, hopefully, that come and sow into your life to help you, to encourage you. So just want to leave you with that word of encouragement tonight.
Yes.
You know, the bondages, they're not, you know, when we get through that, you know, we can help other people who are what? Bound and say, hey, listen, I've been through that. I understand that. And I think that's kind of what you're saying with the disciples, that
yes.
they were our example, that they were going through some of the things that we go through, but they yet still what? They overcame it. And so I don't know. I won't speak for you, Brother Rodney. But
set a good example for us.
They set a great example. Yes, sir. And I think it's up to us to set a great example for,
yes.
you know, our children, not just our children, but everyone who comes around us. And sometimes we fall short, but we recognize that, you know, what greater mantle than being the king of Israel? And then he did what he did, and he was God's example. And the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. And so, but God in his love, his grace, and his mercy restored David. You know, David's throne got taken by his own son, you know, and but God restored it back to him. So I'm so thankful, man, that he's such a loving God. And he's such a patient God. And he'll be with us, and he'll walk with you through the good and what?
And the bad.
And the bad. And so, Brother Rodney, I appreciate you tonight. I thank God for you. And okay. and hopefully, you know, once again, we've got another podcast here. I'm so thankful to be able to be a part of it. Maybe things will turn out well with it, the volume and everything. So I'm so thankful. So, Brother Rodney, will you close us out in prayer tonight?
Okay. God, thank you for all this that we shared with others. Let it be of some use to somebody that's in bondage. However, how their bondage is, just let them overcome it. Let them know that they've got somebody to help them along the way. And just go with us throughout everything we do, and let us be a light to others in all everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, Brother Rodney. Appreciate that prayer and those words of encouragement. Once again, Forsaken Horizon podcast here. We're just trying to encourage everyone. You're not alone. Just remember that God is with you, that we are thinking about you. We're praying for you. Yes. Be encouraged. We appreciate everyone who tunes in.